Wonderful, and our recording has started. So good morning, or good afternoon, or good evening, wherever you are listening to us from. We are on for our second, the day is just going by so fast, we feel like we've just begun. But we are on day number two of the Monetize Your Gifts Live Masterclass with Joetta Johnson. As I mentioned a moment ago, Joetta is just following up after Will Weinrub, the founder of Live Ninja, and Joetta is going to be talking about a topic that I know every last one of us to some degree needs additional support and some coaching and advice around, and it's how to manage all of this money that we're making and put it in, have it work for us instead of against us. And I know Joetta has some amazing information to share about this topic. So first of all, I would love to have Joetta just introduce herself and tell us a little about how she got into this wonderful world of accounting and money management, and then we're going to move right into our content. So Joetta, I'll let you take it away.
Thanks, Rodney. I'm really excited and inspired to be here in this Monetize Your Gifts Telesummit. And you know, my background, yes, accounting and finance. While it was quite a journey to start that path, and at the time I started going into accounting and going to school for accounting, I had no idea where that would lead me, as I did not have a vision for being a financial coach at that time in my mind, but I was led down a path, and lo and behold, here I am, being able to use everything I've learned in my education and experience in the corporate world with financial forecasting and budgeting and goal setting and income generation and really manifestation.
Now that's, you know, that's the one I'd like to actually chat with you about for just a few minutes, because I do know that obviously, you know, we want to make, you know, we want to have fun things to do with our money. We want to, you know, manage it well. We want to put it to work for us as opposed to us always having to feel like we need to work for it. But I know for some, you know, the manifestation of it, actually getting it in the door to begin with, is sort of the stuck point. Do you have any specific tools or advice that you can share with us on sort of, you know, if the flow is not happening as well as we'd like it to? Do you have any tips for us on how we can actually create a little bit more flow so that when it does come in, we know where we're going to go with it?
Most definitely. That is pretty much like a really good portion of what it is that I do with people. And so, you know, back in the days when I was what I call myself, I recently did a blog on being a corporate zombie, and it was in the days where I worked with executives and setting financial goals and budgeting and strategizing and really learning the power in clarity of a vision, and it was very focused. So it was very focused. It had a lot of direction. There was an ability to take action around these very quantitative goals that we were setting for revenue projections. And so these revenue projections essentially drove a whole company to get behind these goals and take action and really focus on the realization of these numbers, these income numbers. And I found the power in that, but also the shadow of it as well, because it was only masculine energy going towards the realization of these goals. And I find a lot of entrepreneurs have a hard time, especially ones that are very heart-centered, just focusing specifically on the realization of a goal, especially when it's just money, because it's very hard to relate to a goal from a heart-centered place. So I really discovered by working in that world that the feminine aspect, the manifestation aspect, was missing from the equation. Now, this feminine aspect is more of the realm of intention and the experiential or qualitative part of what a person wants to realize in their life. So there's the goal, which is the specifics. In the corporate world, they work a lot with what are called SMART goals. So those are specific, measurable, action-oriented, realistic, and time-based, so that you can actually measure what's happening against the setting of this goal. So if an entrepreneur wants to realize more money, one of the steps that they can take is to create a SMART goal. But they need to add in the realm of the feminine, this experiential intention setting aspect of the goal, which is, if they were to realize that goal, how would they feel? What would their experience in realizing that goal look like, feel like? You know, it's bringing in more of the senses in order to connect to what would this amount of money actually translate into in terms of an experience for myself, both while I'm generating it, but also when it actually happens. What is that experience going to feel like, going to be like? And so the blending of these two pieces, goal setting and intention setting, is combined in a process that I call the map of intention.
I love that. I really love that. And you know, for many reasons why, and it goes to set the tone for what I had created with this program by doing an intention guide. As you're listening, as I mentioned at an orientation yesterday, is that, you know, as you're listening to each of the presenters, and Joette is illustrating it beautifully here, is that as you're listening to what she's saying, write down what are your three or two or three financial intentions. What are the things that you really want to create? And do this with every call, not just Joette's, but she's illustrating it verbally beautifully. What you made me think of as you were speaking, Joette, is that there's so much out there, and perhaps it is considered more masculine energy, where it's just about acquiring the acquisition of money, mm-hmm. for just money's sake, for having it in your hands, which I think can drive us to do things and to get into situations where we may not always feel the most comfortable, but we just want to, you know, we feel that's what the American sort of dream is built on, is the acquisition of stuff. So we get these things that we really don't have any heart-based connection to. We have this money that we just have, but it's there, and maybe we're trying to spend it as fast as we make it because we just, you know, what have you. There's no connection to it, really. Would I be on target with that statement?
Yeah, I say for the majority of entrepreneurs who are operating in more of a spiritually aware place, it is very difficult to just set a goal and accomplish it these days. There has to be that feminine component. Otherwise, you know, I used to set goals all the time, and sometimes they would happen and sometimes they wouldn't. And I always noticed a little bit of a discrepancy inside of myself. I know there's power in setting goals, and so I would set them, but then I would either lose interest in them or feel disconnected from them or just not be inspired by them. But when I really began to understand the deeper components of it, really needs to be connected to the experience that I want to have, the emotional qualities that I want to feel, and, you know, what would happen. So if a person is generating a goal that is income-based, they need to be able to tie that income to, how would their life look differently? What would that money actually go towards? What would it get used for? And then also setting the goal in order to grow oneself and liberate oneself from all of the internal barriers that they hold within their mind and in their belief systems. you know, this is another aspect of goal setting that I discovered when I was like, I am having a hard time connecting to these goals. It's very difficult. But when I began to relate to them more as like an experiment, I'm experimenting. What's going to happen if I strive toward accomplishing this particular income goal? Like, is it going to bring up all of my limitations for me so that I can see them and work through them and transform them into something really incredible? And once I did that, along with the feminine aspect of intention and emotional experience, my goals just began to happen almost like effortlessly. They would just happen, and I was like, wow, these goals are actually just happening, and I'm not even having to work hard to, like, make them happen. They were just coming to fruition in a very organic way because I was using these underlying techniques.
You know, when I first discovered you and I was reading your story on your website, and I'd love you to share a little bit of that with us. You really started this process to actually help you relocate. You were living in San Francisco, and you used some of these principles to move from San Francisco to where you now are in Colorado, which immediately drew me in to want to reach out to you to be a part of this experience we're doing today. Could you share us a little bit about, you know, some of the things you actually did to actually manifest that? that new the life you now have, which I think is just wonderful. It was so inspiring to me.
I would love to. Yeah, I've used this process over and over and over again to realize a lot of different things. And so when I was living in the Bay Area and I had completed my previous business partnership, I felt this calling, this urge within myself that became a vision to move back to the mountains. And I remember being here visiting family in Colorado and had got a picture of the mountains. And I couldn't stop looking at this picture. It was just like so energizing for me. And I brought it home and like I put it up, and every day I look at this picture, and this vision just began to like call me. And so, you know, I used my tools and techniques and the map of intention to map out my money and begin to set aside money in order to ground my vision in the clarity of numbers. And so one of the techniques that I use is to create a savings account for your goal that you want to accomplish and give that savings account a name, a very specific name. So it could be like move to the mountains and you name it in your tracking system, you name it in your bank if you can, and really have a clear strategy of like putting money towards that goal or that vision, because it gives it energy. Even if it's just a small amount, it's giving it energy and it's grounding that vision in materiality, which is money. And so it kind of like moves from this realm of imagination and, you know, vision in our mind essentially into practicality, like taking action, having a savings account that's like holding that intention for us. And then of course, like, you know, beginning to imagine my experience and what it would feel like to be in the mountains. And then as I really begin to apply these techniques and put these things in place, then I would get clues or synchronicities, and they started to lead me down a path of actions to take. And actually, when I moved, I didn't realize I was moving to Colorado. I thought I was moving to Ashland in the Mount Shasta area. And I ended up there, and, you know, I was redirected over here to Colorado. And, you know, I look back and it's just like, wow, like I have the experience, you know, based upon the intentions I was holding way back then, 4 years ago, before I moved here. And I was led because I was putting that out to the universe, but I was also claiming my stake in the ground with the money and the savings account and, you know, mapping things out. Like, this is what I want to create. So pay attention, universe. So it's pretty powerful.
Mm-hmm. You know, I completely love that story, and I know the second that I read that, you know, it really, it's something, unless you begin, I know all of us to some degree have experienced something like that, similar situation or story as what you shared. I know for me personally, years ago, when I was living in San Francisco, so funny how our kind of parallel in so many different ways. But I was living in San Francisco, and I wanted to go to take an overseas trip. I'd never really been out of the country before, and I decided I wanted to go to Thailand. And I just made this decision I was going to do this, and you know, really didn't know exactly where all the money was going to come from. I was actually. But I just made the decision that I was going to do it. So I started picking up books on Thailand, and the minute I just verbalized it, the minute I actually put voice to it, people started giving me books on Thailand, and people mm-hmm. started telling me, oh, I've got a friend in Thailand that you can hang out with, and this other guy I worked with says, oh, well, I trekked through Thailand for like a month, and, you know, he offered to loan me his backpack and all of this stuff. And so, you know, that was all great for those things, but then, you know, the physical cash wasn't necessarily materializing as fast as I would have hoped for the trip. And then one day I was leaving my house going to work in the city. I was living in Oakland at the time, and I was going to stop by the travel agent to go and purchase my plane ticket. Now, I didn't have all of the cash to pay for this plane ticket. That was my intention to go and buy the plane ticket. And as I picked up the mail on the way to catch the BART train, for some of you who don't lived in the Bay Area, BART's like our, you know, monorail train system, I received a Christmas card from my parents, and in the Christmas card was a check for the plane ticket. I didn't tell them I was going to Bangkok. I didn't say anything about the trip, and that was the one Christmas gift they sent me, and I never got one since that happened.
That's so incredible.
But, you know, but it's something that I can't reiterate enough about the power of intention. When you're in alignment with what you really need to be bringing into your life, want to bring into your life, you know, I've heard that so many times, when you get into alignment like that, the universe conspires to work for you and get you all the physical things you need to manifest the thing that you want to create. So, you know, I love your story, and I wanted to share mine because I know it works. When you do open yourself to it, it does actually really work. So what I love to talk to you about is on having fun in financial forecasting. Now, what I know, when I hear the word financial forecasting, I think of spreadsheets and I think of, you know, numbers that I, and sales goals I have to hit in the next quarter and, you know, the fiscal year and all that stuff. And I know a lot of us listening, that's not our language. That's not our vernacular. So could you tell us, how do we have fun, Joetta, with financial forecasting, and why it's critical as an entrepreneur?
Yes, definitely. It's one of my favorite topics. And so, the financial forecasting that I do and practice and teach, it is spreadsheets and numbers and kind of analysis and projections. But again, it brings in the feminine, because the financial forecasting that you're talking about is really kind of like old world or old school. Like, it has a heavy, intense, hard energy around it. And I think that's how people relate to it. And so they don't want to relate to it at all, especially, you know, more creative, visionary, like new world people. They don't really connect to that way. But there is the power and clarity of mapping out those numbers through Excel or other financial forecasting tools, but adding in this realm of the feminine. So you bring in the realm of intention, and you look at your financial categories, and you rename them with things that are more exciting, like sacred adventure or sanctuary, like when a person wants to maybe buy a home or have a family. They really look at these various categories of where the money wants to get allocated to, and they begin to like add creativity and fun into the naming of their categories, and really, again, like using the forecast as an experiment of manifestation. So when a person relates to forecasting from just that more masculine perspective of, you know, just the numbers and just the goals and how am I going to do this, then it's no fun, but it's still valuable. So you've got to add the fun, which is the experiment of what happens if I do this. What happens if I put this number down? What does it bring up for me? What happens if I put this income number down? What does it bring up for me? And really using it as a tool of self-growth and introspection within oneself, really seeing, like, what happens if I put this down? Do I have any significant clues or synchronicities that start to happen as a result of it? So it's like a manifestation experiment, which makes it far more fun than I find people who are really not into numbers and spreadsheets and goal setting change. They change and they get really inspired and they get really excited and they begin to think about different possibilities, but they also begin to feel confident with money. They begin to feel their power to influence the world around them and what they can create in a material sense, but also in a spiritual sense, experientially. So when they connect to these other parts of the equation, you know, and add in this mix of intention and emotion and experimentation, and also a super powerful component that I want to ensure I mention is this partnering with the universe. So when you put these numbers down and you relate to it as though you're communicating it out to the universe, saying, this is what I want, this is what I want to create, help me. You know, help me to realize this vision, because here it is in the numbers, and almost imagining like faxing it out into this like greater intelligence and saying like, okay, like let's do this. How can we do this? How can we make this happen? Then a person becomes very empowered and they become led to the steps they need to take in order for this vision to happen. So that's where it becomes fun. And then when the manifestation actually happens, it's extremely fulfilling. A person gets so jazzed up when these things begin to happen and they see them and they go back to the numbers and it's like, oh my God, it's actually happening. Then they begin to feel like the freedom that they have to create and fulfillment of what they truly desire.
You know, that's a really brilliant way to actually, and I never would have ever thought of forecasting from that perspective at all, and I love it because, again, for many of us on the call, we're creative people, and again, you know, the hardcore number crunching, the old world way of looking at numbers and money management, I think for many of us gives us a headache right off the bat, and we just, and so we shut down, which means we're shutting down our flow. It's just that you're giving us a new paradigm, a new way to really, you almost like, what I feel like is like you're reverse engineering back from what you want back to the core of how you get started with any process that you want to create. That's the way I look at it.
I love that.
Yeah, I just think it's a really cool way to really, you know, I think if you're not, because again, if you're not emotionally invested in the thing that it is that you want to create, and not necessarily with a desperate longing for it, like you feel your life will be, just not as comfortable as if you don't have this. Because I do believe there are some things that are for us and some things definitely that we might think we want that really aren't for us.
Yes.
So let me ask you about this then for just a moment. What is your thoughts about detachment? Once you make a decision about something and you set an intention and you do some of the process that you're going over, what's your take, Joette, on detaching from it?
Yeah, it's a fantastic question and oh so important in this process. So, you know, that goal setting that I was talking about, really, I use goal as an acronym. And so the acronym is G for grow you, O, outside of your comfort zone, A for feeling alive and in the adventure, and L, liberating you from all barriers to success. And the L here is really important in relationship to this question, because a barrier to success is attachment to the goal. And so when I work with clients around goal setting, we get to see what happens when they set an income goal, especially, you know, like what comes up? What comes up in the month if the goal doesn't look like it's happening and the fear begins to arise and all of these thought systems around that particular goal and whether or not they're going to succeed or they're going to fail. And through that process, they get to see where the attachments actually are and work on releasing them. And it's really a practice because it's a razor's edge to have a level of desire and expectation and belief in something happening while at the same time not holding on with that like desperation that you mentioned, like desperate, like this has to happen otherwise I'm not going to be okay, or this has to happen otherwise I don't have value and it means I'm a failure in the world, or this has to happen otherwise, you know, my world is going to fall apart and I'm going to be homeless on the street, which is an interesting place that a lot of people can go to in their mind. And so this liberating yourself from the barriers, you actually have to set the goal in order to bring them to the surface and see where the attachment is in order to be able to detach from it.
You know, now, I want to use a practical, if you will, example, or real world example, if you will, of someone, maybe yourself, I'm not sure, but I just want to put it out there. If you have someone that has come to work with you that maybe they're, you know, many of us decide to become self-employed because we want to break through, quote unquote, the glass ceiling. We want to be able to have our income be whatever we want it to be. But I find so many of us tend to only allow ourselves to make a certain amount of money every month, no matter what it seems that we do. And have you ever had a situation or a client that's come to you where they just can't seem to break through this dollar amount? You know, this consistently seems to come in month after month. But they want to bring in more. What type of work have you seen that happen, one? And what kind of work can you or tips you can give someone like that to help them bring in more clarity and peace and move past that self-imposed barrier to bring in more?
Fantastic question. And I definitely have seen this hundreds of times with the clients that come to me. And so, you know, one tool that is available immediately is essentially one of the free gifts that I'm offering at the end of this call is really, it's a quiz on the hidden areas that we sabotage. And so the most powerful and fruitful area to look when there is a plateau in an income goal is the unconscious mind, because that means that something in the unconscious mind is holding on to particular kinds of beliefs of what it means if that income goal were to come true at a new level. A lot of times for people it means like, well, I'm going to have to sacrifice my well-being, my health, my time, like sacrifice all of these things in order to get the money. And so they won't. They won't do it because unconsciously they're actually afraid of what that means. And so by looking at the unconscious and identifying the feelings that arise around an income goal, the thoughts that arise, you begin to get to some of the beliefs. And then when you get to those beliefs, what I do usually is have people take a risk doing something completely opposite of what they might believe is going to happen. And so a specific example I remember from one person is, you know, she really wanted to just experience the flow of money. And so we had her take a risk around relating to her father and being willing to receive money, because that was an area that she was resisting and had certain ideas about what that meant about her and her experience. And so she was able to really take a risk around that and do something completely opposite, which was to actually be open to receiving. And this open to receiving opened up like many gifts that were able to come to her. And she was able to release this belief that she was holding around what would happen if she really opened up to receiving. So usually there's a risk. You have to identify the risk to take to do things differently than what your fear or your unconscious mind is telling you. And so the quiz that I have on my free gift page is one tool to start to open up that door of what is living in my unconscious mind, because it's very difficult to just try to see it. You have to have something to work with in order to get to what's in there.
Yeah, I agree. I agree completely. You know, the thing that I have found, and also to what Joetta was speaking about, is this amazing opportunity she's created to take this quiz, and you can find out more information about that on getpaidforyourcreativity.com/gifts, G-I-F-T-S, and scroll down the page, and you'll see all of the presenters' photographs, and right next to their photographs will be the links to access their gifts, and you'll be able to go to Joetta's page to sign up for those complimentary. And I think you're offering 10 sessions, correct, Joetta?
Yes. For the first 10 people who sign up, I am offering a half-hour financial coaching laser session, which is a pretty rare opportunity with me, as I don't usually offer these, but I was really called for this particular group of people to offer that in order to get them, you know, really on fire with the steps that they can start taking, you know, in addition to what I'm sharing here and uncovering the hidden patterns that sabotage prosperity, like really get them into action around their finances.
Wonderful. wonderful, wonderful. It's a great opportunity, and as I said, everyone is graciously offered something, either a discount off of their program or a free, you know, a free consultation like this. So take advantage of these opportunities, everyone that's listening, because they are amazing. And as I said, some don't even offer these kinds of sessions. So if this calls to you, definitely take advantage of that. Now, Joetta, we have about 10 or so minutes left, and I really want to talk about this one big, the B word, that for mm-hmm. so many of us is brings up so much tension and uncomfortableness around money. And I know what you know, that B word is budgeting.
Yes.
We hear that word, and it just brings up all kinds of pain for us. So you have a way of helping people create budgeting plans that actually help them actualize what they want to create in their life. So I'm all ears on that one. Tell us about budgeting.
Excellent. Yes, so the word budget. Well, first off, I like people, when I start talking about budgeting, one, to just take a moment and notice what the word budget triggers in them, what kind of feelings and thoughts come up. So I encourage everyone listening just to take a moment right now to just notice. Notice when they hear the word budget, what comes up, and how they feel in their body. And then...
Could I share mine?
Yes, I'd love to hear yours, Rodney.
Yes. I think of restriction, I can't do something.
Mm-hmm. Yes, that is super, super common. And so if you notice the correlation with going on a diet, like with food. So when people think about going on a diet, there's an automatic response restriction. And what it does in a lot of people is that feeling of restriction creates rebellion almost instantaneously. If you're going to go on a diet or if you're going to go on a budget, very similarly, people feel that restriction and they will do the exact opposite. And they will rebel against that plan because the unconscious does not want to be restricted. Now, if you think about the words map of intention and just sit with that for a moment, and see what that makes you feel like, what kind of thoughts come up. I would love to hear from you, Rodney, what you notice.
You know, honestly, the first word that came to me was play. And that's so not anything that I would necessarily always equate with money. Mm-hmm. Because money, for me, I can speak just candidly. If I want to use myself as an example here, is I worked for many years in the hospitality industry. You know, I was actually a tipped employee. Mm-hmm. So my world was always, for many years of my life, up until I started my own business about 6 years ago, was always, I don't need to hold on to money because I can just always go back to work tomorrow and make more. And so that mentality just kind of carried over. If I have it, it comes in to take care of a need. And whatever is left over, I can do a little want every now and again. But then I started sort of playing down the wants to focus on the needs and always figuring, you know what, there's always a way to make more. Mm-hmm. And so I subconsciously, you know, and I know many people who work on sort of a cash intake, daily cash intake basis, mm-hmm. that tends to be a prevailing action plan. I don't need to worry about holding on to this because I know as long as I'm able to work, I can go back and get more.
Mm-hmm. Mm. Yes.
No.
Very, very interesting. Mm-hmm. Well, I love...
Go ahead. No, so when I thought about the new idea that you placed in my head. I was like, I'd like to have more for play, mm-hmm. where it's not always centered around the need for it.
Mm-hmm.
But having it, of course, to take care of the needs, but also to have some for play, whatever that meant to me, mm-hmm. which, you know, could be a trip for me most of the time. Play means for me to travel. You know, I'm not a shopper. I don't buy lots of clothes and, you know, things like that and so forth. But I love to be able to take a trip. So that's what, for me, I'd like to manifest more money for.
Mm-hmm.
You know?
That's amazing. I love hearing about what you want to create. Because it is what inspires me to do the work that I do. So this world of play, you know, when you hear the map of intention, you associate it with what you want, as opposed to a budget is like what you can't have. So, you know, this map of intention, just the relanguaging of it opens you up to a greater level of possibility, and then you begin to connect to where that intention is. So that intention for you feels strong around this realm of play. And so in the map of intention, which is essentially a new paradigm or reverse engineering, I like that term that you use, budget, but instead of it being restrictive, it's inclusive, and it's including, you know, like what you want. So for you, you know, you would be allocating your finances in such a way where it's prioritizing play in your finances. It's best to do it first with what you currently have, because a lot of people will create a map of intention, but it's only, you know, in the future of what they want to have, which I also encourage, but it's really great to do it within your current means. Like, how would you reorder things in order to make this a top priority and be able to, like, prioritize it and then put your resources towards it? That could be on a monthly basis. It could be there's a technique that I always loved of T. Harv Eker of Millionaire, I think his is Millionaire Mind.
Millionaire Mind. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and he has like a play account. So he has you basically take a percentage of your income and have like play accounts. And so I tried the strategy, and so I established a play savings account, and I would take, you know, I think it was around 5% of my earnings at that time. And I put it in this account, and he encourages you to essentially take all your money out of that account once a month and just spend it on whatever you want to. And I like had so much fun. I would take a day off in the middle of the week once a month, and I would just like take out that money and I would just go and play. And I never knew what it was I was going to do. It might be, you know, go to the beach for the day, or go to the spa for a day, or, you know, do some kind of a day adventure where I just take all that money and spend it. And it was really incredible, you know. So there's lots of different ways that you can play with these intentions, and you could have a savings account that's your play account, but it's growing into a larger amount that maybe you want to use for some kind of a travel adventure. And I really like Smarty Pig, which is an online savings bank system. And basically you can set up like a specific goal, and it helps you monitor yourself against that goal. So if you wanted to save, you know, like $5,000 to take like a big trip, you know, you would set that goal inside of Smarty Pig, and you would set up an automatic savings plan. You would name that account, and then you would start saving towards it. And then you know, once you hit the goal, you can take the money out, and then you can go on your trip. And it's really, people are like 20 times more likely to save money, one, when their account has a name that's specific, and it has a purpose, and they have a goal they're working towards.
That's brilliant. I love that. It's called SmartyPig.com.
SmartyPig.com. It's pretty awesome. For goal setting.
For goal setting. I think that's brilliant. honestly think I can say is that you've actually introduced the idea that budgeting actually can be fun. Dare I say. Wow, this is amazing. Oh, my God, Joetta, you've just been such a wealth of knowledge here with this. And, you know, and I know, and I really love our conversation that we've had with this, because it's been, again, you know, we hear the word money, and I know, you know, for so many, whatever your money story is, whatever's attached to that, those feelings immediately come into play. They immediately, you know, rise to the surface. And most of us tend to, at that point, as you said, resist or rebel. And the old ways of, or the ways we've always done things will continue to remain because we're not willing to look at it. But what I dare I honestly say that you've shared with us here in this, you know, 45 minutes, that looking at it doesn't necessarily have to be this hard, painful, you know, terror-ridden experience, you mm-hmm. know. And, you know, I just thank you so much for sharing this with us. Do you have any, you know, in the last few minutes we have together, do you have any closing thoughts, ideas, or words for us, or, you know, a tip or something that we can do immediately to start, besides signing up for one of those 10 coveted sessions, that we can do to take away from our time?
Yes, I do, because I think that specific action is very important when it comes to this process. So, you know, I would start. One, I would utilize the opportunity to take advantage of my free gift, which is uncovering the hidden patterns that sabotage prosperity, because that really helps you to begin to look at what the unconscious mind has living inside of it. Then I would encourage people to essentially look at their income and look, you know, at the past 3 months and get an average of what that income is. And then by looking at that average income number, really looking at, okay, if I were going to set a goal around my income being different than this, what would it be? And I'd say to keep it relatively close to where you're at, because a lot of people will be, let's say they're at $3,000 and they want to set a goal of $10,000. Not that that is impossible, but I would probably encourage them to set a goal for $4,000 or $5,000 and get successful with that goal and then incrementally bump it up to $10,000. So, you know, start with where you're at and set a goal beyond where you're at, but not too far out of reach where you disconnect. And then once you set that income number goal, then apply an intention to it, which is really the emotional experience. So let's say your goal is $4,000 a month that you generate from your business, and you want to have an experience of having a lot of space and balance and fun and play. Let's say that's the intention. So add an intention to it so you're connected to the experience that you want to have. And then with that income goal, I highly, highly, highly encourage a person to put it in some kind of a tracking system that has budgeting software in it, like Quicken or QuickBooks or Mint. Excel is even possible. It's not the best option, but it's a starting point. Or writing it down, you know, at a minimum where you can see it on a regular basis and be able to track against it. And this is going to start you on the path of this new way of goal setting and seeing what's possible. So it begins to bring all that we've talked about into very specific action steps and something that you can tangibly measure whether or not it's coming true. So that's what I recommend as a starting point, something that's really pretty simple but very, very powerful. Like when a person puts these numbers in their Quicken system or QuickBooks system and it holds the goal for them, they create astounding success, so much to the point where they're like, they can't even believe it. They can't even believe that those numbers are coming true, but they are.
I love that. I love that. Well, these are real world practical action steps that every last one of us can take. And again, I want to say thank you, thank you, thank you. You've been such a gift to have as a part of this program. I am going to go back and listen to this again and again. And on that subject, this opportunity to listen to this again and again can be available to you as well. If you decide to invest in the Masterclass Muse package, that all of the replays for all of the sessions, including Joetta's, will be available for you for $94, or you can purchase a Joetta's session alone, single, for $20. And I will be making summary sheets available. I'm taking copious notes of everyone's talk and the aha moments for me, so you'll have like a little cheat sheet to use to accompany the replay as well, and those will be available. The replays will be set up this evening, and again, they'll be available for purchase. I'll be sending out an email tonight where you can pick that up if you'd like to add it to your library, or go for the Muse package and add all of this training and resources that everyone's providing to you, to your success library. Again, Joetta has brought some enlightenment definitely to me, and I'm sure many of you who are calling in, I'm seeing by the responses that I'm receiving on this, that this was a popular topic, as I knew it would be. And I wanted to have a conversation about the money without it being painful. And you definitely made it, dare I say, again, I love that term, fun. So I thank you for that so much.
Thanks, Rodney. It's been amazing to be here and to interact with you and share all of these incredible tools and techniques and practices that I've been able to practice in my own life and share with many others. And just want to also say a piece of gratitude to my mentor, who has really like taught me this whole realm of manifesting combined with budgeting. So it's been a pleasure to be here. So thank you.
Oh, you're welcome. You're most welcome. And I look forward to us being able to do something like this again in the future. So with that said, everyone, thank you so much for coming and sharing this time with us. We are going to be reconnecting shortly in about another 8 minutes or so with Carolyn Kwan. Carolyn is an amazing entrepreneurial artist that has a lot to share about the role of monetizing your art. And yes, you actually can make a living from selling art. And she's going to talk about that, followed up by Terry Belford right after her call at 1 o'clock. So I will be reconvening in about another 8 minutes with Carolyn Kwan. Joetta, thank you again. And do not forget to visit the getpayforyourcreativity.com/gift gifts page to see all the presenters' gifts. There are going to be more things added up there later today. But please take advantage of those opportunities that are there, including Joetta's gracious gift. And I look forward to connecting with you all shortly. Joetta, again, blessings, and I will be speaking again soon. Take care.
Wonderful. Thank you.
Bye-bye.
Bye.